Why are we spending so much time in Matthew chapter 13? Okay, coming in where? Sure. Even though the church isn't directly mentioned, but a couple of times, and interestingly enough, then only in the book of Matthew, in the Synoptic Gospels, there is certainly a lot of truth that's revealed, is there not? Well, let's begin reading then for our lesson this morning. We'll start in verse number 31. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, The kingdom of heaven is like to a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all seeds, but when it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs, and becometh a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. Another parable spake he unto them. The kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal, till the whole was leavened. All these things spake Jesus unto the multitudes in parables, and without a parable spake he not unto them, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. Why did Jesus put this to them in parables? Yes. They that have ears will be able to hear. Those that have eyes will be able to see. You know, it might be good to speak another word concerning that this morning. Now, who did he speak the parables to? Okay. They were Jews. Israelites might be a better answer. What classifications of Israelites? Okay, those of faith and those without faith. Maybe we could say it that way. The common people? Yes, the multitudes. That's what I'm looking for. And who was with the multitudes at the time these parables were spoken? Okay, the Pharisees and the scribes were there. Who else might have been there? Who? Okay, the apostles were there. We know they were there because they began to ask him questions concerning the meaning of those parables. What does that tell us about the apostles? Or should we say, perhaps, those of faith? What does that tell us about them? Maybe we'll learn something about ourselves if we pay attention here. I really want to make a big point. You hear me say it all the time, but maybe I don't explain what I mean by it well enough. I'm sorry, Elizabeth. Go ahead. Okay. But if they had ears to hear and eyes to see, why would they have asked Jesus about the parables? Look at verse number 36. Then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house. Well, he'd come out of that house in the previous chapter, or perhaps another house. But he goes back in, and this time, the disciples came unto him. It doesn't just say apostles, but it says disciples, mathetes, learners, probably more than the apostles. But they follow him into the house because now there's been something stirred within them. We've heard strange words today. What's the meaning of this? Well, most of the people went home. They couldn't hear it. They couldn't see it. But those that did hear it didn't really understand it, and they still had some questions about it. Look at verse 36 again. Then Jesus sent the multitudes away and went into the house privately, and his disciples came unto him. Not just the apostles, but all those that were following him and had ears to hear. And they ask him, declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. I guess that's the one that stuck in their mind. Well, why would they have asked him if they had eyes to see and ears to hear? There's something interesting here that maybe we should know as believers. Okay, they needed God's power to enlighten the word. That's true. And they'll get it. Yes. Mm-hmm. Okay. There was a message that they should learn. I think they didn't understand that. But they didn't really understand what the message was. That's why they came and asked him. Yes, Brother Sam?
Because he said they were mysteries.
Okay. They were mysteries. That's true.
Just because you're saved does not mean that you're going to take and understand all of God's word.
Good point. Have we as believers ever heard something preached or taught that we did not immediately understand, and it took us a good deal of time with the help of the Spirit before it finally began to dawn on us what that teacher is saying? What point is he trying to get across? When we read the Synoptic Gospels, I think we're kind of amazed that Jesus kind of repeated the same things over and over and over, didn't he? Well, he wouldn't do that if all the people that were supposed to get it had got it the first time. Let's see what we can learn as believers. There's an important principle involved here. Now, these disciples were his followers. They were learners. They actually wanted to know. But obviously, at first, they didn't. And let's talk about maybe why they didn't. Why might it be that Christians would gather themselves together and have a teacher begin to teach them the Word of God, and let's say that the teacher is teaching it in context, and he's teaching truth, but sometimes it's very difficult for us to grasp it. What might stand in the way? Because you have exactly the same thing going on here with these disciples. Okay, a difference in the maturity of the believer? That's a good place to start. Okay, a difference in the humility. All right. Mm-hmm. Right on. Can we go a little deeper and make something even bigger of this? Let's try to put ourselves in the place of these disciples now. Again, who were the disciples? They were learners, but what background did these disciples have? Because I got two answers that were kind of the same to my question. One was, it depends on the maturity of the believer. And what did you say, Brother Greg? It was akin to that. Well, that's all right. Okay. All right. Do you think that the flesh could stand between understanding and not understanding? Do you think that might be possible? Okay, let's consider these disciples and their background. they had a certain kind of background that maybe a Gentile that snuck in amongst them wouldn't have. What kind of a background was that? Okay, they had the revealed Word of God in the Old Testament. A lot of history. I'm looking for an R word. Religion. Religion can be the biggest stumbling block that anybody faces in the understanding of spiritual truth. You know, it's a whole lot easier to take somebody that has had no religious background and lead them into a spiritual understanding of the truth than it is a religious person. Who was it that crucified Jesus? Yes, that's right. It was the religious leaders. You know, when you start to understand this, a point is going to pop into your mind. It's easier to learn something from the ground up with no obstacle in your path than it is to having learned something in an improper way and having to forget all that and then come around to learning something that is true. When you think about that, it becomes very obvious, doesn't it? Yes. Mm-hmm. Dogma. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. But what was wrong with the religion of the Jews? Certainly it was based on self-righteousness, wasn't it? They imagined that they had kept the law. They subverted the teaching of the Old Testament, did they not? And they built a religion around it. And that blocked their ears off. What's the greatest thing that religion will always fight against? You know, you can get away with a lot of things in a religion. When you look around at the church scene today, that should be pretty obvious. You can get away with a bunch in the name of religion, but if you try to do one thing, it's going to stir up a hornet's nest. Sure, try to speak the truth. If you attempt to teach the Word of God to a bunch of religionists, they are going to get the smell of innovation here. The smell of change. They're not going to like that. Religious people are always traditionalists. It's always based upon something that is earthbound. The ideas and commandments of men. No matter how pious they might seem, they're always wrong. And you know, it's a great problem when we are given instruction that puts us in the class of religionists rather than the truth. Why do you think that Jesus stirred up such controversy? Why did the Pharisees get all in an uproar over his teaching? Now, they didn't get in an uproar over this because they didn't understand it. But Jesus had some run-ins with these religious leaders where they did understand it. Sometimes they only dimly perceived it. The scripture in one place says that they dimly perceived that he had spoken this parable against them. Doesn't it amaze you that a bunch of religious people would have crucified Christ who came and told them what the scriptures meant? Kirby? Okay, where does religion live in man? Yes. Religion, pride, self-will, all of it. How can Scripture be discerned spiritually? Absolutely. Is a religious person open spiritually as they ought to be? Usually not. Because when something comes along like these parables, immediately somebody that is a believer begins to look at this and say, there's something here, but maybe we shouldn't fool with this because we don't want to upset the apple cart, and we'll just pass on over it. Just so that you'll understand what's going on here, we're going to draw down to what's caused the destruction of the church. You keep hearing me compare the seven churches in Revelation to what we're studying. When we get ready to draw the noose tight here, you'll begin to see what's going on. Jesus predicted what the seven churches were going to do in these parables. The groundwork is laid out. The problem with Christianity today is the same problem that was present among the Jews when Jesus was speaking these parables. You had a bunch of people who were religious. Some of them were even saved. Some of them were even people of faith. But they were having trouble understanding what Jesus said. Is it any wonder that today in the church, even people that are indwelt by the Holy Spirit because they've been involved in a religion most of their lives, have trouble understanding spiritual truth? Because when it comes along, a choice has to be made. Either we are going to live by the dictates of our religion so as not to stir up any trouble, or we are going to begin to investigate these spiritual truths. Well, as soon as that raises its ugly head, somebody's going to come along and say, you're upsetting the apple cart. You're beginning to teach things which we have not received as orthodoxy. And if you don't think that's true, you go to into a group of Calvinists and try to teach them the truth. Man, they'll skin you alive. Well, sure. Just like Calvin. He burnt people at the stake. Why? Well, they were innovators. They went against his system of religion. And folks, it's always been that way, and it's worse today than it has ever been. And if you begin to understand these things, you won't be picked off. You won't be a sitting duck for it. You know, it's kind of hard to blindside somebody that's watching out, that's on alert. Christians need to be on alert today. Because there are so many false teachings. There's so much religion that has settled into Christianity. Well, the disciples faced the same thing, didn't they? Why was it that Nicodemus came to Jesus by night? Was Nicodemus a religious leader? He sure was. A member of the High Sanhedrin. Why did he come to Jesus at night? Not to be seen. Why? Why does the scripture say that he didn't want to be seen? Sure, for fear of the Jews, the scripture says. What was Nicodemus doing? He was sticking his neck out, wasn't he? He could have been caught. And then later, he just openly comes to Pilate and begs the body of Jesus right out there in front of everybody. But the first little step that he took, he comes to Jesus by night and asks him a question. He learned about being born again, didn't he? Why did he do that? Because he was afraid that if he received this new teaching from this teacher that was going around teaching strange doctrines, this innovator, he could end up being put out of the Sanhedrin. Remember when Jesus opened the eyes of the man born blind? Did you notice that his parents weren't very supportive? What was the reason for that? They were going to be put out of the synagogue. They were going to be shunned by their own religion. You see, people that are in a religion obviously think it's important because religion extracts a high price from a person, doesn't it? It extracts a terrible price. They were frightened. They didn't want to go against the tenets of their religion. Do you know what would happen if I tried to teach this series of messages at a Baptist preacher's convention? Because I'm going to be talking about the doctrine of the Nicolaitans. And it wouldn't take very long before they figured out that that was aimed right at them. It would be a dim perception, but they would begin to perceive, who is this person that's coming in here and pointing a finger at us? Pointing out our sin and our hypocrisy. And what would they fall back on? Their Baptist religion. Nobody else is teaching that. Who is this person? Let's not look to see if his teaching is true or not. Let's launch a few ad hominem attacks against him. We can't touch the Holy Spirit, but we can silence the messenger. Wasn't that in Martin Luther's song we sang just a few minutes ago? The body they may kill, but God's truth stands still. Religion. When you start to understand the enormity of the wickedness of religion, and understand that it's a part of the world system of the cosmos that's ruled over by the devil, you'll begin to see the position that these disciples were in. You know, they're walking on eggs here. It's difficult for them. They know that Jesus is teaching the truth, but they can't really understand it. And then after they do understand it, they have this dim idea in the back of their mind that it's going to lead to a whole lot of trouble. And it does. And it does. Okay, all that being said, back to the parables. We have the parable of the grain of mustard seed, and the parable of the leaven. When we take those two together, we understand from the parable of the mustard seed that there's going to be an organization, this big tree. And this big tree is going to look awful inviting to the birds of the air. They're going to start coming and lodging in the branches and befoul it with their presence. The mustard seed itself grew up into a monstrosity, didn't it? You suppose the disciples thought Jesus was really talking about a mustard tree? No, they knew there's something behind this. There's something behind this. Do you suppose it might have occurred to one of them? You know, our own religion has grown up into a monstrosity. Do you suppose that there were Jews around in the time of Jesus that understood that the religious leaders were way off the reservation? Of course there were. Of course there were. They understood it. But they had to make a choice. Whether to stand up against it and begin to teach the truth, or to remain silent. Do you suppose Isaiah understood in his day what the religion of the Jews had turned into? He paid a price, didn't he? Did Jeremiah pay a price? Did David pay a price? Who exacted the price? Yes, their own nation. David had little to fear from the Philistines, who hectored David. Those of his own house and his own nation, who put the prophets to death. The people of their own nation, of their own religion, if I may use the term broadly. When you start to think about these things, you'll begin to see the truth. Truth is expensive, but we are the ambassadors of God. And He's given us the mind of Christ, and we shouldn't shrink back from it. What's the best they can do? Or the worst? Check us into heaven early. Martin Luther understood that. The martyrs understood that. But when it comes down to us, little old us, having to make a choice like that, it's not easy. When you begin to speak the truth, are your Southern Baptist friends going to like you much? Are your Independent Baptist friends going to like you much? Those that love the truth, will they like you much? Oh yeah, thanks for pointing that out to me. I never thought about that before. Where did you learn that? Oh, here's a couple of good books you could read. Here's a couple of tapes, somebody teaching it. Really? There are a lot of people around that would make the decision. If only there were somebody to teach them. That's where you come in. Okay, we have a monstrosity that's grown up. The disciples have an understanding. He's not really talking about a literal mustard tree, because nobody would go out into a field and sow mustard seed. It's a garden herb. So immediately something jangles. They understand it can't mean what he's saying. It has to mean something else. But we're not quite sure what it does mean. And then we've got a woman hiding leaven in 3 measures of meal. We don't hide leaven. You put it in deliberately. And you advertise the fact. What makes baking bread smell so good? Dead yeast. Absolutely. So they hear Jesus speaking these things and they realize it can't be the outward meaning. Something new is being taught here. And we already know that the religious leaders are upset with his teaching. We have to make up our minds. Do we really want to know this? Or mightn't it be better if we just went with the multitudes and got out of here? Is ignorance bliss? No. Ignorance gets people killed. Stupid kills. It's not speed that kills. It's stupid that kills. Well, what's going on? It's obvious that the mustard seed is not evolving. It's doing what? What's the opposite of evolving? Devolving. It's obvious that when you leaven something and it's not evolving, it's devolving. What had happened to the religion of the Jews? Had it evolved to where they had reached a higher plane of spiritual experience? That's why they crucified the Lord. It had devolved until their understanding was nothing more than going through a series of motions that they had been taught. without ever giving any thought to what the meaning was behind it. Why in one place in the Old Testament did the Lord tell the children of Israel to rack up a pile of stones? It had something to do with their children. Sure, when their children came along and said, "What meaneth these stones?" Oh, well, let us tell you about that. Now, you weren't there, and our grandfathers weren't there, but the story about these stones, we know the story about those stones. See that river over there? We didn't always live in this land. What a chance to tell the story of the Exodus and what it really meant. All the Jewish children knew the story of the Exodus, but to them it was just a nursery rhyme. The main thing that counted was dividing your herb garden up so that you tithed off each of the herbs and washing your hands when you were supposed to and not stepping on any graves. A huge list of rules that had been made up that obscured the spiritual truth of everything that the Old Testament prophets had taught. Let me ask you a question. If the Jews had really understood the Torah, would they have had the attitude that they did towards Jesus for going through Samaria? No, of course they wouldn't. Isaiah is the evangelist of the Old Testament. Would the disciples have come up to the well and start asking him, "Why are you talking to this woman?" They didn't, but it went through their minds, didn't it? None of them durst ask him. They had that part down. But it wouldn't have even crossed their mind why he was talking to the woman at the well. If they understood the Old Testament, they would know. If they had understood the Old Testament, would they have wondered at the Syrophoenician woman that came to Jesus? And would they have marveled at his answer? Here's somebody from way outside the reservation. But they did. Why? Because they're religion. We don't care what Isaiah says. It's just us Jews. We're the only one that counts. These Gentile dogs. Those Samaritan swine. Their religion had blinded them to the obvious truth. What did Jesus say when he cleansed the temple? I know I keep bringing this up, but I'm trying to get you to see how poisonous religion is to spiritual truth. Jesus goes in and drives the money changers out of the temple, and what did he say? Yes, but I want to hear it all. All right. They'd made it a den of thieves, but there's something else. And there's something else shall be called of who a house of prayer? All nations. Even the Jewish women couldn't go beyond a certain point in the temple. Why do you think they had a place called the Court of the Women? We keep them outside. They can only approach so close. But they had signs around the temple outside the court of the women, announcing that a Gentile would step on there at his own peril. They'd kill him for that. of all nations an house of prayer? But you've made it a den of thieves? How do you suppose that went over with the chief priests and the Pharisees? Good grief. This stuff's pretty deep. You know, they already had a history of this. Now, the New Testament church, we can look back and see what religion did to the Jews, but have we learned anything? Doesn't look like it. When you're talking about churchianity in the main, have we learned anything? But you know, there were certain disciples in Jesus' time that wanted to know. And there are certain disciples today that want to know. And isn't it wonderful that the same spiritual principle is there? If you want to know, you will. He'll give you the understanding. So if we can put ourselves in their place and see what happened to them, we could learn a lot. And yet Jesus is looking forward here. These parables that he's uttering are prophetic. They're for the future. It's the same mess. Why is dispensationalism important? All right, know how to apply God's word. Why is it important for Christians to understand the root truths of dispensationalism? There's a principle involved, and we're talking about it. Is a warning about what? Okay. Well, God warned Adam about that. Okay, to know how God is dealing and when he's dealing, yes, but there's something that underlies this. What's the underpinning of the truth about teaching dispensationalism? To satisfy an intellectual curiosity that we might have? Or do you suppose God brings this up because he wants us to learn something from it? What do we learn from the dispensations? One following the next. Is there a common denominator? Okay. Yes, but why? And why is it important for a Christian to know that? Okay. That's not what I'm looking for. It's true. All of the things that you're bringing up are true. But if you're thinking about the lesson this morning, religion is what killed the Jews. What do we suppose it's going to do to the church? And since we're living in the end of the church age, we don't even have to ask that question. What's the idea of dispensationalism? What's the idea that we're supposed to get from dispensationalism? Okay, but that still doesn't touch it, and I want you to think about it yourself. There you go. That's exactly right. We are to learn from history. Each of the dispensations was a period of human history, wasn't it? One coming after the other. Each will end with man's failure. Why? Yes, because he relies upon himself. He leans unto his own understanding in the ends of those ways. Yes, but there's something else that's true about a dispensation too. When a dispensation ends, is everybody wiped out? No, he saves a remnant. Always. Why were the remnant saved? Sure. Why did Noah find grace in the eyes of the Lord? Sure, he was a man of faith. The other seven got a free ride. But Noah was a man of faith. And it's been that way for each of the dispensations. And one of the greatest reasons that Christians should know of dispensational truth is, of course, to rightly divide the word of truth, but also to understand that religion ends in failure every single time. The religion of Cain ended in the flood. Every single time, religion is toxic. It's poisonous to the truth. Always. And so these disciples, again, are listening to Jesus, and he's teaching this, and they know there's something there, but it's dangerous. It's dangerous. It's going to cost each of the 12 a price. In all but the case of one, the ultimate price. Let's pray. Our dear Lord, we want to thank you this morning that we can look into your word and understand all the encouragements that are there for us to desire to learn. And Lord, what happens if we become spiritually careless? Lord, help us to understand that a lot of the things that you were teaching to the Jews seem new as innovations to them. But Lord, it's the same today. When we look into your word and study dispensational truth, when we study the deeper truths of the Pauline epistles, Lord, immediate suspicion is raised with the religious crowd. It has the smell of innovation on it. And they fear it. Lord, help us to understand that you still propagate spiritual truth even today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.